And welcome, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday evening, afternoon, wherever you're watching. This is the Full Press Hockey Unnamed Hockey Show each and every Tuesday night. Mike Straw joined, as always, by Chris Wessel, Jim Behringer. Guys, how you feeling today? I'm in a great mood. I'm in a new office. It's all done. I'm ready to go.
Is that Spider-Man behind you?
Oh, yeah.
I see. My Spidey senses are tingling.
Oh, yeah, they are. Yeah, this is a nice studio you got there.
I love it. I got the PS5 in the background, the guitars, my posters. I'm just in a great mood. I'm out of the dark green depressive that I chose dump in my own home. It's a dump.
It looks a lot brighter. Looks better. Got Spidey there. Everything's looks good over by you. I'm feeling good. You know, Tuesday, here we go. You know, the dog days of the summer are here.
Yeah. And even in the deadest of dog days of summer, we have the almighty Devil's Blanket.
Yes.
See, I feel like this is just, you know, y'all have your devil stuff here, you know. If you're going to support garbage, I need to support garbage. So,
Hey.
That's no banana slugging it here.
That's why you can see the Sabres and Whalers hats up in the little corner here.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Before we get into this, Whalers hats is vintage, and plus they were good. Yeah, they didn't go deep in the playoffs, but this is vintage, and you can't knock the Whalers.
No, but you can now because they're in Carolina.
Yeah, but Carolina has nothing to do with the Whalers anymore. Yeah, but Carolina wants no association with Hartford. So any person that flies Whaler stuff down there, they don't get what Hartford Whalers was all about.
To be fair, neither did the league. That's why they're not there anymore.
I know.
But that is a good point.
That's a great point.
And that is the best of the stuff we're going to talk about today, because it's all downhill from here, because we have – Right, we were supposed to do it last week, but technical issues, me not having a computer because I was in the middle of a move, and then storms knocking out power everywhere. We have two big topics to talk about today, guys. We have what is going on with the Chicago Blackhawks and that dumpster fire over the past couple years, and the news that broke today with what we're going to start with. Ads on jerseys. We knew it was coming. Everybody, if you didn't know it was coming, you're living under a rock, because after the NBA did it, you knew the NHL wasn't far behind. And it seems we're going to have it not for this season, but the next 2022-2023. A small, about 3 by 3.5 inch patch over the logo near the shoulder, and the sanctity and tradition of the sweater. The last grace of tradition in hockey is now going to be, we're on our way to European hockey, right? What was your first thought? We'll start with you, Jim. What was your first thought when you saw NHL was finally, you know, biting the bullet here and adding ads to their sweaters?
I mean, not shocking. I mean, to be honest, I mean, really not shocking at all. I mean, the thing is, you have a year plus to get it right, so it doesn't look tacky and doesn't look, you know, tasteless, I guess to say. But I mean, look, you saw coming with the jersey, with the helmet ads last year, which, you know, to be honest, some teams did it well. Some teams didn't do so well with it. They made it too big. They didn't look great. But I got a feeling, well, it's just me, that like the Prudential sponsors, the Devil helmets, they'll be on the jersey somewhere. Because I don't see them reaching out too crazy. I think they're going to stay with what they have, you know, locally with the helmets, with, you know, naming arenas, stuff like that, similar stuff. And don't forget, so as I mentioned in an article today on Full Press Hockey, yeah, it's a cheap plug like Mick Foley does on WWF, WWE. But, you know, so if you watch some telecasts, you can see ads on the ice. You definitely see it when you're watching the Ranger games. Cablevision, Optimum Spectrum is all over the place on the glass, but it's not there really. So it's already like they're already doing stuff. It's just another way to generate revenue. So,
and I get that. It's another way to generate revenue, but I'm at the point where it's just becoming, it takes away. As someone who can't focus on things, I have the attention span of a fish. It bothers me. Like when I see ads placed on the glass of the boards, placed on the board, the glass, And every time that they're in the back, you just see it shaking and the edge shaking. And it takes away my focus of what's happening in the game. And even with the dual ads behind the nets on the ice, it's just too – I get to the point where it's too much and I feel like I'm watching a mobile game.
I mean, look, it does get too much at a point. But like I said, you know, you got a year to get it right, to plan it out, to not make it look tasteless, maybe put it in the right position. I mean, you know, look, like I said, there's going to be ways to do it right and there's going to be ways to do it wrong. I don't think it's going to get to the point where it's European hockey, where it's all over the place and the ad is the name of the team. I don't think so. I think it's going to be put in the right spot. Not too far from, not, it's not going to be close to the main team logo. It's going to be done right. And don't forget, look, everybody says, oh yeah, it's already the manufacturer that makes the jerseys already there. Well, yeah, that's an ad too, because you just can't take the manufacturer's logo off the jersey. So technically there'll be two.
No, you're absolutely right, John. I mean, look, I saw a perfect example of this, and you hate to see it. You know, it's kind of a side story with Jaromir Jagr basically saying that if it wasn't for ad revenue and him playing, his team would be completely bankrupt. I mean, that just puts it in perspective right there. We're not going to get to that point here. We're not going to have, you know, literally an ad covering every single stinking inch of space, like the whole entire screen. Like, so, I mean, folks, relax. It's not going into effect this year. There's time to get this prepared and done at least halfway decently right by NHL standards. And we have to say that because it is the NHL. I mean, this is a league that sometimes could have 30 chances to get something right, and they don't quite deliver on it. So, look, it's not going in effect this year. People will live.
I just don't like the idea. I'm going to continue. I know you say... I know you say don't worry about it, or like I just the NHL is going to get it wrong because, again, like you said, they've had 30 chances to get things right and they still fail. The NHL will get this wrong. Two, we all know they're going to be the league that allows a certain organization, and I'm not going to mention them, to get a sponsorship. Three, I just don't. It was the one place that I had, man, where I didn't expect to see ads. I didn't care about the helmet. The helmet, like, it didn't, like, no one noticed. I didn't notice too much. But the jersey, it's one of those things I'm going to notice. Well, I mean,
practice jerseys already have ads on them.
They
already
don't count.
Yeah, but they're still, it's still ad on a jersey.
No, it's ad on a friggin' shirt at that point.
Yeah, but you know how many people buy practice jerseys? I see a lot of them around when I'm playing open hockey. So
yeah, I'd rather see people buy knockoffs than practice jerseys. That's where I'm at.
Well, it's not that easy to get knockoffs anymore.
It was a little tougher than it used to be.
Yeah, but I mean, look, Mike, you know, to a point, like Chris has said, they have time to get it right. I don't know if it's going to be like the Fig Newton, like we saw in, you know, Talladega Nights. I don't think it's going to be that obnoxious. But like you said, now it opens the door. Are we going to see, like, you know, gambling companies be on those jerseys now and stuff like that? You know, it gets to a point where, all right, what ads, what companies are going to be on there? I personally, like, I think the Devils will either do Prudential or one of their sports books they have in the arena, something like that. That's just my opinion on that thing. But like I said, I think it's definitely a touchy subject, especially with some fans, because they don't want the sanctity of the jersey and the logo on the front to be, you know, disbarred by the jersey ads. They don't want European hockey, all that stuff. But I think, you know, the helmet ads were done right. Let's see if the NHL can do this right. And I'm hoping they can, because they have a year plus to get it right.
And I know, like, I've heard people argue, well, look at soccer kits. But that's my issue. Like, more people know the soccer jersey because of the logo, the ad on it, not the team's logo that sits where, like, it's basically as if you swap the ad for the patch that's going to be on the NHL jerseys. I don't think we're ever going to get to that point. If we ever did, I think there'd be a full class riot, and I think the NHL knows that. I also, what I don't want to see are ads, personally, are ads on the jerseys that get sold to the public. Because I am one, like, I'm already walking billboard for your team. I'm not going to be a walking billboard for a company.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure, 100%. I definitely agree with that. I wouldn't buy a jersey that had an ad on it to begin with. I wouldn't do that. And like you said, you don't want to be walking billboard for somebody. Look, you know it's going to be there. For how long it's going to be there, who knows? Maybe this could be like a 1-2 years thing where they just need to just get enough revenue to get the salary cap up, and then they're like, all right, we're done.
I don't – I can't do it. I can't do it. Like, I just wish I had more to say. I can't do it. I hate it. And this is one of those things that I'm uber passionate about, and I think I'm over the top. Like, calm down. It's not that big a deal, people will tell me, but I'm more angry about it than what I think I should be. Like, I'm more angry about it than I know I should be. Let's put it that way. I just can't. I'm more angry about it than a damn billboard being put up in my city for a trash organization that is nothing more than the bar stool of the NHL, and that is the New York Rangers. You know what? What a segue.
Wow.
I am a king, okay? So if everybody doesn't know, some place in New York, you know, for that the third best hockey team in the New York metro area.
Ouch.
Maybe the fourth, because I'd probably put the New York Riveters from the NWHL way ahead of them. There's the Islanders, the Devils, the Riveters.
Buffalo Buttes.
I take that back. No, I'm talking about just the New York City area. So, we're going to do this real quick. There's the Islanders. There's the Riveters. There's the Devils. Then way down on my feet, like under my feet, under the gum on my boot, are the Rags. And I don't care if that gets Rags fans angry. They're trash. And they put up a billboard saying, trade requests are a pain in the neck. Hashtag free Jack. And it was a buffalo with Jack Eichel, like curly hair on it. Granted, by talking about it, I'm doing exactly what they wanted. But hell, I had to drive by that garbage today. And it's stupid. It is so dumb. On other things that I'm unnecessarily angry about. That's this week's show.
It almost feels like there should be like a running segment on this.
Yeah, what is really Mike unnecessarily angry about today? No,
it's funny because Mike is the opposite of me right now. Like, Mike's the opposite of me right now. I'm like totally calm about this jersey ad thing, and maybe I should be a little bit more upset than I am, but I'm looking at rationally, and Mike's just completely like off his hinges about it, which I get as a fan. Definitely, I'd be mad about it too. But analyzing, I'd be like, there's some time, we'll figure it out. I'll judge it when I see it, and if I see it and it's ugly as heck, then I'll be on Mike's side 100%.
Exactly.
Yeah, go on, Chris.
Yeah, it's one of those things where this is the time of the off season where it's like, what? Yeah, I'm good right now. We haven't hit like September, late September or October, where it's just like, yeah, you're gonna die. I mean, we haven't hit that stage.
No, even though this off season's weird because we're only in this like dog days of summer. Usually we've been in for almost 2 months, so we're going crazy at this point.
Yeah,
we've only been in it for 3 weeks.
I know,
but it feels like 2 years.
It does.
It really feels longer.
Like, we're only a month away from training camp.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I'm not going to lie, I kind of like it. I know the players don't. I kind of like the shortened off season.
A little bit.
Me too. And
speaking of off seasons, another great segue. Let's talk about one specific off season. And this was supposed to be the topic last week, but again, we weren't here because of technical issues. And it is those Chicago Blackhawks. Now, we're not going to talk about what's going on off the ice because we've talked about it. We all have the same opinion on it. We all know that's a mess. We all know it shouldn't have happened, and it should have been dealt with immediately when it first started to get reported. But we're going to talk about what this organization is doing, what Stan Bowman is doing this year. And Chris, we'll start with you, because I don't know what they're doing other than throwing out stupid money.
There's a lot of things going on, guys. I mean, that's about the only way you look. If you wanted chaos in your offseason, Chicago Blackhawks are your team. And you'll like it. By the way, just for the fun part of the equation for everybody out there listening, yeah, they're over the salary cap. So don't worry.
And they got more to do. I mean, they just signed yesterday, I think it was, Alex Nylander, which, okay, it's only $800,000, but that's still another $800,000 they got to figure out what the hell they're going
to
do with.
Well, they kind of had to sign him because it was like, well, we need insurance in case such and such player gets moved, injured, et cetera. Insert pile of yuts here. Or the God forbid case that Jonathan Tate somehow doesn't play this season.
That's the only way out of cap hell at this point, unless they make another big trade, is Taze can't play and he goes back on long-term IR.
All right. I did medieval bad math, which means it's really bad. Now they're 3 million. They're just a hair over 3 million over the cap, just a hair. So it's not horrible. And you could easily LTIR somebody.
Yeah.
I wonder who that's gonna be.
Again, I wonder who that could be.
Again, I mean, you know, there's one obvious target, and he's on LTIR for one more year, and that's Andrew Shaw. So that's how they get technically $858,000 under the cap right now, technically.
Yeah, I mean, the roster size, according to Cap Friendly, they're one over.
Yeah.
They are, I mean, they don't have a first-round pick next year.
Nope.
There's
a lot of problems here.
That is to Columbus. They do have draft picks. They have 3/3 next year, which they'll likely move. Stan Bowman is not one to sit and hold on to draft capital. He is to use it for players that he can get today. Mm-hmm. Or players that'll help him in the next year or so. But you have the guy, you have Taze still, we talked about, you got Kane, you got DeBrincat, you got Tyler Johnson. That Seth Jones deal, man. Yeah, it's only a 5.4? It's right on the screen. 5.4 cap hit this year. Then next year is going to be even worse, but you have to make the decisions now of what you're going to do, because you did sign Jake McCabe to, if he stays healthy, it could be a really good deal, but that if is huge. Yeah. 4 years, 16 mil. Like, and then sure, you got Fleury. He's 7 mil for this year only. I highly doubt he finishes the season in Chicago. But I don't know. Like, it's like he's trying to, because he knows the window's closing with Taze and Kane. They've already got rid of Seabrook. They already got rid of Duncan Keith.
Crazy to think, isn't it?
They are. Yeah, that core cup run is gone, other than the two main forwards, and their windows are running out. Now, I'm not saying Pat, like, they're falling as players, because Pat Kane is still one of the most dynamic playmakers in the league. Like, he's proven it, even at 32 years old, he's still able to put up a ton of points. But they have nothing around them. The last few years, their drafting hasn't been good. Their free agent pickups just haven't been good. Nothing they're doing. They had Robin Leonard. They didn't give him the money he ended up getting in Vegas. And they'd probably be better off had they signed him, to be honest. But it's like they're trying to do these quick bandages of using, like, little kid-sized bandages on a stab wound.
Yeah.
It's not going to stop any sort of bleeding.
We got a gusher here. And it's a gusher that could burst at any time, just because. and you know, again, we talked about the off the ice stuff, but just on the ice, it's like, okay, how are you stacking up this deep? First off, the defense, which was last year. I mean, you're hoping Marc-Andre Fleury in his late 30s can stop the bleeding at least enough. And that may be a bit of a tall order with what's there. Oh, by the way, just so everybody knows, that Jake McCabe deal includes a modified no trade clause.
That made no sense to me.
Wow.
So one of the wrinkles in this, as I said to somebody who works on the Chicago beat, I was like, so you paid a guy who comes off a pretty significant injury $4 million a year for the next 3 years, and you give him a 17 no trade list.
Oof.
Why?
I don't know. Zero
sense. I mean, even Yussi Saros, who's the third best goalie in the league right now, he ain't getting any trade protection.
Nope.
I know it's different positions, but I mean,
he's also more.
I know.
I don't want to say a more proven player, but a more proven player. I'm gonna say it. Don't want to.
He might as well.
Well, he is. I mean, he's definitely a more proven player.
I mean, look, you got to play with John Hines, for crying out loud.
Yeah,
well. That gets your bonus points along. that's just the fact of the matter. But look, this Chicago team, and I know people have already been trying to like go, okay, well, you know, how is the depth charts going to look and this sort of thing? And it's like, ugh, I mean, it's rough. I mean, there's no other way about this.
When you look at this roster, though. So say Taze comes say Taze comes through and he plays. Okay, we're just gonna say he plays. What realistically can this team do to get under the salary cap and still be somewhat competitive? Because it's tough. It's tough. Like you think because of who they have up front, they might, and if Fleury recaptures some flurriness, he can kind of run, carry him a little bit to the postseason. But what are they going to do for a bottom six or even a second line because of the moves they got to make? Like, are they going to have to get rid of a guy like DeBrincat because of where they're at and where they got themselves? Like, I don't think anybody's going to want to take Tyler Johnson at this point from them. They're like, no, you're going to, unless you give us something, because we're not going to take that $5 million. If I'm a GM, I'm not taking that $5 million per year over what, over the next 3 years, for a guy who'll be 34, 35 almost, like when that's done. Like, I'm not, what, I just, it's hard for me to see what they can do right now to really make this work. And I'm just super happy I'm not in Stan Bowman's shoes, though he got himself into this mess.
Yeah, he did. He really got himself in this mess. I mean, it started with the Tyler Johnson trade. I mean, I don't understand. Like, look, kudos to Julian Brisebois for getting Tyler Johnson off the books. But when are teams going to make these teams that are up against the cap pay? Like, there was no reason for Chicago to take on all of Tyler Johnson's salary. They didn't need to take on all of Marc-Andre Fleury's salary either. That would have helped them tremendously, you know, going forward. But again, Stan Bowman thinks there's a window with the Chicago Blackhawks to win another cup. Now, don't get me wrong. They were a surprise team last year. No one expected them to be in the playoff mix as long as they were. And for a good while there, they were hanging on and hanging on and hanging on, and then they just couldn't hang on anymore. But the thing is, in the modern salary cap era, you cannot have players making over $10 million. That just doesn't work. You see it with the Leafs. You know, Tampa's got guys under 10.
I think you can.
It's tough.
But, yeah, I don't think you can have multiple.
No.
But I think you can get it with one.
One, definitely, but you can't have two.
No, if it was just Kane, if Taze doesn't come back, I think they're fine.
Right.
Let's put it out there. I think they're fine on the ice. okay, not fine on the ice, but they're fine in dealing with putting a team together on the ice. If Toews comes back, and part of me thinks he doesn't. I think he tries it in training camp and then just calls it.
Calls it, no go.
Yeah, it's just tough. I just don't know what. I don't know what they can do. I'm literally trying to think, and I'm silent because my brain is frying at this point, trying to think of what the Blackhawks could realistically do, like who they could package for a deal. Because again, they don't have a first round pick to try and get things in a more better situation. Like, you have a lot of players hovering around that $1 million, but you have to be able to get rid of, like, I think at the end of the day, they got to find a way to get Tyler Johnson off the books. They have to find a way. That is going to be the move they need to make. And that likely means they have to give up a young player to do so. Like, my bold thought here is by the start of the season, DeBrincat and Johnson are both in a package trade somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. Dylan Strome might be the guy that goes. I agree with that. I don't think DeBrincat – I don't think Stan Bowman wants to give up Alex DeBrincat. He's too much of a future. I mean, look what he did last year.
If you're going to – if I'm a GM, I'm not – I don't care about Chicago's future. I care – it's like if you want to get these cap – these numbers off the books, then you're going to have to give me what I want. Otherwise, good luck getting out of that hell.
There'll be a team that takes it.
Arizona, let's be real.
Yeah, yeah, Strome will go back to Arizona.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure he'll be so happy. Because he wasn't happy there to begin with.
No,
that's its own mess that could take about a month to explain. But look, right as of this moment, Chicago is okay. Now, if they go and sign anybody, look, you could have 28 million players on your roster like another team in the league and still be under the salary cap. So it is possible. In this case though, when you're looking at like we mentioned a little bit on roster construction here, they got a mess and a half because you're going to basically have what looks like to be a first pairing of Seth Jones and Calvin DeHaan. Okay. That's not horrible.
No,
but DeHaan really tailed off badly last year.
Yes, he did.
And nobody honestly knows if it was COVID, if it was just, you know, his play took a turn, what exactly happened. So you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm going to say this, and this is where your concern lies, guys. The only guy on that team that can really play proven minutes for better or for worse on defense right now is Seth Jones.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No.
I mean, you look down the line. Calvin DeHaan averaged a little less than 19 minutes last year. His career high was in the early days of the Islanders, but obviously in his time in Chicago and even Carolina, he never played more than 20 minutes. So, okay, ow. You know, we went back to talk Jake McCabe. He's not going to play much more than 20 minutes. He's only done it once in his career.
No, he shouldn't.
And he absolutely he shouldn't have to. If he does, then
to me like a 15 minute max type of defenseman.
Yeah, that's pretty much about right. I mean, I mean, Don Granato, even last year, had him playing just about 19 minutes a night, and that was probably stretching it, and yet it somehow worked. That's not going to happen in Chicago.
It worked because Don Granato put him in situations,
yes,
where he could play that role. He wasn't going out against.
Still the tough.
He wasn't going out against top lines. That's pretty much how it is.
Yeah, I think second line.
I think that was what he was doing. He's playing second line minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go down the line, obviously McCabe, no. Murphy, no. Let's be honest. And then after that, it just gets uglier and uglier. You don't want to look anymore. And that's where you go, oh God, again? I mean, yeah you added Seth Jones, but the reality is this could be a bottom third penalty kill again.
So if you were in Stan Bowman's shoes, Jim, we'll start with you. You have to make one move, big or small, no matter what it is, whether it's putting a guy, like waving a guy, buying him out, whatever, trading him, bringing in somebody. If you're Stan Bowman and you have one move to make to turn this year around and try and actually be a playoff team, is there one move you can make? If so, what would it be?
Well, there's a couple of moves I would do if I'm Stan Bowman looking at this roster. One of them, and there's a couple names on here. You mentioned Dylan Strome. There's Dominic Kubalik could get moved. Brett Connolly can get moved. Brandon Hagel could get moved. Adam Gaudette could get moved. Heck, they could throw Alex Nylander in a package as well, because those are the type of players that equal combined enough to get them under the salary cap. They should figure out a way to upgrade that defense. Now, Marc-Andre Fleury does not have the same defense in Chicago as he did in Vegas, where he stood on his head in his first season with Vegas. They were a mismatch, no doubt, but they were proven players. You can't rely on Marc-Andre Fleury to steal games every night at his age.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem, right, Chris?
Yeah, because, I mean, look, with all due respect, Kevin Lankinen is not a bad goalie.
No.
Is he consistent enough? No. We saw that last year. How many times with him? And you know,
especially down the stretch.
Oh, that was rough. But to be fair, okay. You know, maybe you give him a little bit of the benefit of the doubt in the sense that, all right, yeah, it got rough for Chicago at the end of the season. There's no question about it. But he had some disastrous starts. I mean, for a guy to play 37 games and have five really bad starts of a sub 850 save percentage, that's rough.
That's bad.
And yet, despite all that, guys, and playing for Chicago, his goal saved above average was actually positive. I mean, it wasn't greatly positive. It wasn't like plus double digits, but it was positive. And that in itself is...
That's a win.
That you have to consider that as a win. So if that is a baseline for Chicago, having a goalie that basically has a goals against .300 and a save percentage of .910, and you figure Chicago's defense is about that at that level this year, as far as scoring chances, goals, etc., then Marc-Andre Fleury is going to have to post somewhere around a .265 or .27 goals against with a .920 plus save percentage.
With that defense. I mean, look.
That's not easy. It's doable, but how many games can he do it for?
He can't do it. I mean, what are you saying? So how many games are you going to play? 50?
You're probably going to have to sit there realistically and play him 50 or less.
Right? I mean, so look, you and I both know. Obviously, you know, this Chicago talk, but bring it to the team we follow the most. New Jersey, I mean, that defense the last couple years, and Mackenzie Blackwood and what he did. How many nights did just Blackwood just get pulverized with shots, but yet somehow he managed to will the team to victory?
Yeah, there's a point where you can give up so many high danger chances before cracking.
Right.
And that may be where Chicago finds itself. Let's be honest. There was a time over the second half last year where Chicago was allowing 35 shots a game.
Yeah.
I mean, this is nothing new for Chicago, because there's been a couple seasons over the last four or five where they've done this in long stretches. I mean, I remember maybe it was three years ago when Crawford first started having the vertigo problems, the infamous Devils game where we scored about three goals in about 5 minutes on him.
Yeah.
He left literally eight. And he actually... From where I was sitting, you could actually see he was dazed and confused, leaving the ice completely. And you never saw him again.
Nope.
So, is Chicago's defense that bad? No, but it could be.
It definitely could be.
And that's a huge problem going through this roster, because it affects the offense. The offense knows they're their margin for error is a lot less than the average NHL team.
Mm-hmm.
And if I know I have to score 3 goals a night just to get the game in the overtime every night, that's asking a lot. Even in this era of, I wouldn't call it robust scoring, but a good deal more scoring than some of the errors that, you know, you and I have seen, Jim.
Oh, absolutely. 100. I mean, we could go back to 90s dead puck era where the Devils just trapped the heck out of everybody. But look, I mean, up front Chicago, I mean, they could put the puck in the net. You know, Kirby Dach's there, DeBrincat's there. You know, Kane, look what he's been doing. I mean, imagine if Chicago got in the playoffs last year and what Kane was doing. There is no doubt he should have been in the conversation for MVP because of just what he did. I mean, he's just – every year he's consistently continues to put up points and goals, and he's just a machine. It's just, when is this team just going to – when is the official rebuild going to begin like it did in Detroit? Like, mm-hmm. It's going to have to in Pittsburgh. Eventually, the Cup era guys got to go away, and they got to start over again.
Okay. Now, the one other wrinkle that I neglected to mention with the defense is this. Now, there's a little bit of a window at the start of the season that feasibly, if Chicago felt that Jake McCabe wasn't making a full recovery with his knee, that they could place him right on the cusp of LTIR for about 10 games.
Right.
This is razor thin close, because basically his surgery was a 6 to 9 month recovery timetable.
And when do you have that surgery?
I believe he had it in March.
Right. So he's getting right there, right? He's right on the edge of it.
So, I mean, he's on the low edge of it. I think it's going to, I think they push it a good bit longer. And it goes more towards the 8 or even 9 month range. Or they could, let's put it that way. If they really had to, that's another option that they could use at this point that would alleviate their salary cap problem, at least for a little bit. Again, you know, we're going through some of the possible scenarios here, and it's going to be enough to drive anybody nuts. We haven't even gotten to the offense yet, which poor Mike's going to have fun trying to explain that. Now, unfortunately, we had to go through left wing lock just to see what this would look like. So, you know, forgive me, I'm going to be shot dead for this, or worse.
Right. But
now, the problem is, like we mentioned, all right, so there's obviously no Brendan Saad. He's 2 teams ago gone.
Right.
Now, if you're looking at starting realistically, what for me personally, you remember too, Pia Suter, not in Chicago anymore.
Right.
And this was a guy that was probably about, I would say, on the cusp of probably averaging close to maybe 6 or even 7 tenths a point a game, if he kept going on the trajectory he was on in Chicago. He had that kind of potential, at least. And even not, I mean, he a 40-point season was almost a given for him this year.
Right.
With how well he adapted to playing with the top six. All right, so you don't have him as an option. You're going to have DeBrincat and Kane together at least early.
If Dabry can rekindle some magic there.
Right. You probably, if Taves is healthy enough, you try to play the 3 of them together.
You can try. I don't know.
The only problem with that is you're going to have to sit there and realistically use Taves only on the power play at that point.
Yeah.
You got to think, he hasn't played it. He hasn't played in a year. You don't know what kind of shape he's in. Do you really expect him to play 20 minutes a night off the bat?
No, to be fair, I mean, that's probably where he should be no matter what he does. He's a penalty kill and power play, and that's it.
Yeah. And I think at this stage, that might be what is left for him. I mean, from what little I know of the condition he has, plus some other mental anguish.
Yeah.
We said at the beginning of the show.
You feel bad for him.
Yeah, you do. I really do,
and I don't. And obviously that ties back to some of the not quite on the ice stuff. I don't feel bad for any of them when it comes to off the ice. Period.
Yeah, it's not tough that, to.
Look, this is one of the roughest things that you can balance.
100%. Because we're talking about them as a hockey team, but we all, that elephant is right here. Like,
right. I mean, we're not even talking about the elephant in the room. It's over the shoulder.
Yeah, it's crushing. Like, you want to feel bad. But then you go, how much did certain players know? And if they reported it and nothing was done, why didn't they go outside the organization? And I feel we should, if we're going to talk about this, we should dedicate we could do a whole episode on it, and we should, to do it with justice.
Yeah.
And I think if we do that, and there comes a time where we do talk about what's going on, we bring people in smarter than us.
Absolutely, 100%.
On the legality of things, because I'm not going to sit here and pretend to know. Like, I remember working for another outlet that me and Chris used to work right for during the Pat Kane scandal, sexual assault investigations. And that alone, like I just felt not dirty covering it, writing stories. It's just, I knew I was being paid to be a news reporter, but I felt like I wasn't qualified enough other than this is terrible. Like, I feel terrible for the victim. I like the alleged victim and everything like that.
Yeah, it's so crazy to balance everything. But like you said up front, it's tough. I mean, like you said, pretty much Taves is going to be like almost a designated hitter, designated guy that goes on the ice. And where do you put Doc in all this? Like, where is he playing? Who's he playing with? Is he second line? Is he going to be playing with him, Nylander? You put him with Strom or somebody like that? Like, I mean, I think, you know, ideally him and Suter probably would have been put together, but obviously he's not there anymore. I mean, obviously Johnson's probably playing third or fourth line, and you know, like he did in Tampa, but you're having a $5 million player on your bottom six.
And you got to put Kubalik somewhere.
Right. So Kubalik's got to play in the top six.
He's a pure shooter.
Yeah, so you have to put him in the top six someplace. I mean, the guy was nominated for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have a couple other players that could move up a little bit. Philip Kurashev comes to mind. If, God forbid, something does happen where Taves can't really play like at the anywhere near close to the level that he thinks he can right now. Again, that's a lot of unknown. And Kurashev, extremely young, obviously. But could be a player. I mean, he's gonna be 22 at the start of almost 22 at the start of the season. It's like I think for Chicago, actually, he'll be 22 and 3 days old.
Yeah, so, and then you still got, I mean, you know they have hope for Kirby Dach.
I'm not going to lie. The last 20 to 25 games of Doc's season last year, I was very hopeful. For what's ahead. I mean,
so who knows what's going to happen there? There's a lot of mystery surrounding this team, both on and off the ice. To say it's going to be interesting is an understatement. But we have now, and we have a month until training camp. So, and it's at that weird place with everything going on with them where there's nothing. You don't hear anything from investigations to on the ice product or what they're working on. So things could hit the fan right before, but, and I am, this is going to be a selfish plug here. I am working on an article on, for Full Press Hockey on the NHL, on the investigation and talking, not as far as like the legality of it, but basically what the perception is that the NHL is giving, where certain things matter to them far more that probably shouldn't compared to what's going on in Chicago. And when that drops, I expect to get a lot of people going, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. But this is literally a piece where I'm writing from the heart. One of the first times I'll ever do that. And that's just, there's a lot I got to get off my chest with this. And I'm like, yeah. I started writing it, and then I quickly got up to like 1700 words. And now I'm at like 2800 words. And I'm like, I'm cutting this down like by like two thirds. Like, I'm not publishing this. I might do it like, right. That's a yeah. Like, it's just, I might not necessarily make a lot of people mad, but it's it's an incredibly long, hey, and I'm hey, not even look, done look. At 2800 words. I don't think I'm done. Like, this is like look. One of those long form athletics, yep. And it's just me writing about my thoughts.
It's like writing for overtime. I had to throw the hockey writer's hand grenade out, but. Look, and I've done it myself. I mean, I just had three projects that I had to do where I'm here, but I'm not really here. Yeah. You know, and one was 4,000 plus words on New Jersey's casino system. So, I mean, yeah, it was rough. I'm not going to lie. I forgot how many freaking casinos there are in Atlantic City now that weren't there before. Right.
There's still casinos in Atlantic City outside of Borgata.
They're still in Atlantic City.
Hey, look, there's still a Camden, but that's besides the point. Now,
yeah, well, I mean,
let's be fair. Camden's actually doing a little better than some other areas. It's amazing but true. But this, look, it ain't doing better than Chicago right now.
No,
Chicago's in a rough state in more ways than one. Now, the other thing too. And I was talking to a couple very nice Chicago writers because, you know, they do. Quite a few do exist, and very thankful that they were able to give us the time under the circumstances of what's going on. And they don't know. And when you have people that have been on the beat 15, 20, 25 years, and they don't know what to make of this team, then shoot. We're sitting here like just shoot fish in a barrel to the point where we're just shooting them, trying to shoot them blindfolded. We yep. just, there's no way of knowing until training camp what this team even has.
Mm-mm. No, but it's going to be interesting. And you know what else is going to be interesting? Where we're going for the rest of this summer, because again, we have a month until training camp. And once training camp starts, that's when we begin our weekly, or right before training camp, we're going to be in our weekly season previews. But next week, you ready? You ready for this? I've been thinking about it. We're going to give the tease before we wrap up here.
Ooh.
Next week, we're going to continue our little fantasy world and armchair GM this a bit. And we're all going to come up with one trade. That could a hockey trade, not trading draft picks. Like if you could make any hockey trade with active NHL players that would shake up the league and really turn the parity of the league on its head. We're all going to come up with one deal and we're all going to make fun of each other for it.
You know?
Yeah. But the thing is, if you actually make hockey trades, they sometimes do work.
I know.
Or they
we're going to go
happen.
For ones that will
or
work.
Or they actually happen.
Wait, but true. Here's the kicker.
Uh-oh.
I am going to have NHL 21 loaded up.
Nice.
And so we're going to attempt these trades in the game as we talk about them.
Yep.
And we're going to see if the game would accept our nonsense. We're really going to make this fun now because we are in this point of the summer.
Okay. I have to say this only because this happened and I about 11 years ago I proposed a trade on a certain podcast once upon a time called The Program with my good buddy Tim Rosenthal. I said it half jokingly. I had some information, didn't think anybody was really listening. Get a direct message on Twitter. Remember, this is in the infancy, it's like the first year or two of Twitter. So this isn't like something you take with a grain of salt. Kevin Allen direct messages me. Wassel, quiet. What? What did I say that was so bad? And this is how I know people were listening to the show then. You know, certain press people. Like, we know you. We know you have information. And I'm like, look, I was... The one time I was legitimately just joking around, I was like, well, let's see what players we can toss around the Atlanta Thrashers to get Ilya Kovalchuk.
And then it happens.
Today it happened.
30 minutes later, while we're still on the show, I'm like, well, we have breaking news. How about the host was right? What? At that point, Twitter goes nuts. Let's put it this way. Kevin Allen... I'm trying to think of who was at NHL.com at the time, because I mean, it was quite a different landscape back then.
Was Dan Rosen still there?
Rosen was there at the time. He wasn't a senior editor and writer then.
No, he wasn't, but he was definitely there.
He was there. I know he had something to say about it. John Lane was still a writer there at the time. Thinking in 2009-2010 season. But you got to remember too, this was around the Olympic break.
Yeah.
So there was a soft trade deadline before the Olympic break and then a trade right after the break. Now, the ingenious part of this, I start listing the parts of the trade because I kind of, you know, it's like reportedly this is something that actually has legs. I'm like, screw it. If I'm going down, I'm going down with everything I've got going. I'm going to make this like a WTF trade request from HF boards. Why not? So I start listing parts of players I think that could go. I got it pretty much right down, almost down to, I missed the one conditional pick that went with Anssi Salmela at the very end. And people are just like, how? And I'm like, now here's the dilemma. What do you say at that point? You can't say, oh, I just made it up because no one's going to believe you now.
You only say what you can say. Like for me.
At that juncture, I went with the simple, you know what? Yeah. I'm owning it. I'm fully owning this because
it's what I was told.
It's what I was told.
I was told, and I. So we're gonna wrap this week up because on this little note.
Yep.
I've learned. Obviously, you guys have been in this, Chris. You've been in this industry longer than I. I've only been in this industry since around 2010. A lot of people don't seem to understand that PR and journalism and reporting are two different things. My job as a reporter, as a journalist, especially when I was on the daily beat, was not to protect the team I was covering. It was to, I hear news, I report the news. Was there time I withheld news to kind of, I'll scratch your back, you'll scratch mine? Of course, everybody does it. And they'd be lying to you if they say they don't. It's how I got certain interviews, certain access. It's like, hey, I have this information. If you don't want it to get out, give me this. It works. But I've had it where I've had other people come in and say, like, they like how you were DM'd saying stop or quiet. If I've had other reporters do that, and my response has always been, or what? Like, because you want it first? Like, no, it's my job. I'm trying.
Do that to Kevin Allen, though.
Yeah. For me,
even then, you couldn't do that to Kevin Allen. It's just,
I was 21. When I was first getting into it, I'm like, I don't care. I'm building. I don't care whose toes I have to step on to make it. I'm going to do what I got to do to make it. As long as I didn't get the PR of the organization mad at me for breaking something that like they told me in confidence and I agreed not to report. I've never broken an embargo in my life.
Wait till off the air for that one.
I
got one for off the air. Don't worry.
Jim's got a classic if it's the one I think it is.
I push a lot of people out of the way to make it. And it's one of those like PR journalism. You got to remember, I'm out here to report news. If it's news and it's worth giving out, I'm going to give it out. I don't care who you are, who you try and tell me, who you think you can stop me. At the end of the day, at this point in my life, if I hear something, it's definitely going out because I do this for fun. I'm not, my livelihood is not depending on this.
That's a good point.
But that's where we're going to wrap up this week. Next week, one trade to shake up the league. We're going to have a lot of fun. with this one. We're going to be told by a video game that we're absolutely insane. And maybe instead of NHL 21, maybe I load up Franchise Hockey Manager and we try it in there. Because that is definitely a much more realistic engine to try and run these deals. So
we're going to have the guy that runs Franchise Hockey Manager on at some point this year. Just to,
I think that's something I can work out.
I mean, we may both know him rather well, Mike.
Yeah, I think we do. But until next time, for Jim and Chris, I'm Mike. Thank you for tuning in to Full Press Hockey's coverage, the unnamed Tuesday show. Eventually, we'll have a name. Maybe we'll leave it up to you guys. We're out.